Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the special GG committee meeting. This is dealing with the budget. For all of you here today, we are hearing from delegations and external agencies. We will not be making decisions today. The first round of decisions will be happening on Tuesday. I would encourage everyone, because we have a rather long list, to give us full answers, full information, but be as concise as you can. And as committee asks questions, if you can be concise in your answers, if we need a better answer, we're not shy. We're going to ask more questions. So we will call the meeting to order. I'm going to take an adoption of the agenda, declaration of interest, and then we're going to suspend the rules. So could I have a motion to adopt the agenda? Councillor Hooper, seconded by Councillor Jones. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Do we have any declarations of interest? Councillor Jones. Okay, thank you, Councillor Jones. We've noted that. Anything further? All right. Councillor Jones, you're going to give me a motion to suspend the rules, and we're going to do two things. One is, while it sounds a little silly, we need to suspend the rules to have Councillor Neal sit where he is today, and you want to alter the order of the agenda, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So I've got a mover seconded by Councillor Schwart to suspend the rules. She was saying no, folks, just so you notice that. And you know what? Let's include 4.8. So rather than a delegation, Councillor Traill, you've got a very brief message to read. So we'll get to that first. So 4.8, 4.9, 4.10, and that is to move them to the beginning of the agenda. All right. So on suspending the rules, all in support? Opposed? That is carried. On altering the agenda, Councillor Jones, Councillor Hooper, mover and seconder. Call the question. All in support? Opposed? Carried. Why don't you go first, Councillor Traill?
Okay, thank you. So bear with me. I'm doing some eye treatments, so having some trouble seeing today. But this is from Emily, Allison, Jordan McCormick, and Allison Ridding, and it says, We at Bowmanville wanted to take a quick moment to thank Council for their support over the last year with our Rainbow Crosswalk initiative. We are proud to have partnered with the Bowmanville Rotary Club to raise $4,000 for this crosswalk, and we are grateful for Clarington's commitment to match our fundraising with the remaining $4,000. We hope that once this project is squared away in the budget and planned, that all of you will join us at the dedication ceremony. This is a wonderfully inclusive and welcoming municipality. Thank you from Emily, Allison, and Jordan McCormick, and Allison Ridding.
Thank you, Councillor. So we'll get into the delegations. The first delegate is Heather Emery, and we're going to hear about Parkette revitalization. Welcome, and thank you for joining us this morning.
Run a home daycare, and my mom is with the kids right now, so she'll appreciate it as well. So my name is Heather Emery, and I am the mom of a four-year-old and a two-year-old little boy, and we live in Curtis, right near the Moisey Park, Parkette. When we bought the house 7 years ago, I really liked the idea of having the playground close by, knowing that we'd be having children eventually. And once we had the children, we took them to the park, and we realized that it actually wasn't a safe place to bring the children. It's really a large, tall structure. So I'm going to tell you some of the reasons that I would really like you to consider investing in the playground. It's not very safe for younger children. Now, it does say on it it's for 5 and over, which doesn't help a lot of the children in my community at the moment right now. It's very, very tall. Once you climb up it, if you can get up it, there's a lot of areas for children to fall through. So even if I am standing directly under the structure, I'm still really nervous for their safety. Whenever we go through the parkette, they see the playground. It's colorful. They want to play on it. I don't want them to for the safety reasons I mentioned prior. I always discouraged them from going on it, and it turned into an argument. So therefore, I just don't even venture into that area of the neighborhood, which is a shame because it's gorgeous. I don't know if you've been in there. It's nice and green. There's tons of room to play. There's a path for them to ride bikes. All that's missing is a beautiful play structure. The closest playground that the kids can go to is over on Harrogate, which is about, for little legs, it's about a 15-minute walk. If we only have 30 minutes to play, it takes us 10 or 15 minutes to get there and then to come home. It's not a big deal. We can drive. I can strap them into the car seats. It still takes a considerable amount of time to get there. My daughter and I did a petition in the area, and we did Simnick Crescent, which is my street. We did Fuster, all of Moisey, and Living Court. And not one person refused to sign the petition. In fact, a lot of people were really happy that I was taking the initiative to make a change in the community. My four-year-old came with me, and she often said, "Mommy, this is hard work." And I said, "Braylon, if you want something, then you have to work hard for it. This is what we do." So she came with me. People gave her water. So many people were happy that we are taking the initiative to change. The playground as it stands right now is missing two slides. I think they've taken away, and it's boarded up, which is unacceptable. We don't live in a shiny, brand new community that's kind of typically getting those play structures right now, but our children deserve the same privileges. I've also spoken to a lot of parents along Nash Road up towards the Curtis North Public School who have also voiced their appreciation because they don't have anything nearby to take the children to, and they would also utilize the playground on Harrogate. So we didn't venture out that way with the petition, but we could, and I could get a lot more names, as well as the Nantucket subdivision at Highway 2 and Curtis Road. We didn't venture in there, but I'm pretty sure that we would have a lot of support from the residents in that area as well. With the rising number of childhood obesity, I think it's really important that we give our children the opportunity to get outside and play and remove them from televisions and screen time and give them the chance to exercise, build their social skills, their gross motor skills in a safe environment. And I think that fixing a playground would help get my kids out. I mean, they want to be outside. They want to be doing these things. And I don't want them on that play structure. Like I said, the space is beautiful. There's so much opportunity. I envision an area, a play structure for the toddlers to play, and then something a little bit more advanced for the older children to play on as well, so that we're engaging all different ages. I think maybe at one time the demographic in the neighborhood wasn't in support of updating the playground, but I think it's changed quite a bit now, and there is quite a few young families that would love to see something go in there. Right now it's a very quiet end of the street. I envision kids running around and playing and laughing, and I know it probably sounds corny, but it's my community. I'm very passionate about it. We've been there almost 7 years now. I'm passionate about my children, and I'm really passionate about advocating for all of the young children in my community. So thank you so much for, that's all I have. Thank you for hearing me out today, and.
Ms. Emery, thank you very much. Don't go anywhere. Members of committee, do we have any questions? Councillor Neal.
Yeah, thank you, Ms. Chair, and through you to Heather. I recall meeting you in the fall. I really want to thank you for taking the effort to come out and what speak the way you have, and also collecting the petition names. Would you be prepared to sit down with the, for example, the director of operations and give him some of your ideas about what you maybe think
go there? I met with, is it Ken Mercer? I met with him at the park as well.
Okay.
And we talked about it a little bit, and I didn't get the warm, fuzzy feeling that he was really on board to work with me. I think I would be, absolutely, if it would help to get the ball rolling.
Okay, there's a chap up in the balcony, his name is Mr. Horvath. You might want to connect with him before you go, and I'm sure he'll be more than happy to sit down with you and get your ideas. So, and I just, again, want to thank you for your efforts and applaud what you've done for your community. Thank you.
Do we have anything further? Councillor Jones.
And Heather, thank you so much for coming today and sharing this information with us. And my question would be, when you were getting the petition signed, was there any other comments from any of the other residents that you spoke to? You certainly, absolutely for the kids, it's really important for them, but was there any comments about, you know, people who didn't have children, any older people, mm-hmm. anyone who also would be in favor of, you know, just having an improved area for them to enjoy as well? But
absolutely, there is quite a few grandparents who mentioned that they often have their grandchildren visit and they don't have a place close by to bring the kids to play. A lot of parents are saying their kids are playing on the driveways, balls rolling out into the streets because they don't have an area nearby to take the children to. People who don't have grandchildren or children were saying, they were signing the petition as well, saying that would just be happy to see something come of that area and see it used to its full potential.
Thank you.
Do we have anything further? Thank you ever so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for moving me up as well.
Okay, I had a theory on the delegations. The clerk has a different theory, and the clerk always wins. So I wonder if I could have a motion to deal with the delegation. I'm thinking receive with thanks and refer to budget. Councillor Neal, seconded by Councillor Anderson. Questions, comments? All in support? Opposed? That is carried. We might get that motion similarly a few times today. The next delegate is Melissa Burden. Ms. Burden, welcome. I think there might be a theme.
Pardon?
I said, I think there might be a theme.
I think so, yes. So loud. I think I have some pictures. Yes, I do. Okay, well, hi, I'm Melissa Burden. I live at 25 Brunsfield in Curtis, and I'm here to talk to you about the update of the gatehouse parquet in Curtis at located at 30 Turnberry Crescent in Curtis. As you will see by the pictures I am going to provide, the park has not been maintained in quite some time and is in desperate need of an update. I actually took this picture from the Curtis or the Clarington website because I didn't actually have a picture of the entire structure, but that's basically the entire structure that's there. On the website, the website actually describes this park as being fit for ages 1 to 5 and 5 to 12. As you can see, the play structure is very small and not very entertainment for children older than 3 to 4. It can hardly fit more than one child on the structure at a time. Now, there is a basketball net, so I'm assuming that is what they mean for entertaining a 5 to 12-year-old, but I'm not exactly sure. A 5-year-old doesn't really play basketball. Every park in the area is equipped with two play structures. One structure is for 1 to 5, and the other structure is for 5 to 12. As Heather was speaking about before, she would love to see a structure for 1 to 5 and 5 to 12, and I would love the same for the gatehouse parquet. Or there's also a larger structure that can accommodate both age groups. Also, the website indicates that this park has two benches. There was actually no benches until I complained last summer to Neil, and he kindly was able to provide a bench in July. Sorry, do I move the pictures myself, or?
Yes, so if you just use the arrow keys.
Perfect. Okay, so this picture just basically shows how small the actual structure is. You can see by the platform that maybe two children can fit. at a time playing, going down the two toddler slides. And again, you can see, I mean, I'm not going to be particular about the paint, but you can see that the paint is severely chipped. Here is just a picture of the swings. I think it's fantastic that there's toddler swings, but unfortunately there's not a step up. There's no, I'm not sure exactly what you would call them, but children's swings. I have seen children there that are older than, I would say, 3, 4, standing or sitting on top of the swing because they can't fit inside the swing anymore because they're too large. My son is going to be 3.5, and he's almost too big for these swings, so he won't really be able to swing at the park anymore. And you can also see the poor conditions of the soil. It's just basically weeds. Again, last year, in the last 5 years that I have lived in Curtis, last year was the first year that sand was actually put down at the park. Previous years, the soil was just tilled, and I think it was just tilled so many times that the sand was mixed in with the actual soil. So when it actually rained, it became a mud pile for days on end, and my son actually calls this the muddy park because it's just continuously muddy all the time, especially in the spring and the rainy summer months. So again, although I was happy that there was fresh sand put at the park, operations didn't consider how high the sand would be, and actually swinging on the swings, my son would hit the ground because it was so high. Again, this is just a picture of the soil, the grounds of the park. This is also the rocking alligator that is described on the website, and you can see that the corroding and the rust at the bottom, and it's actually coming out of the ground, and it actually doesn't really rock anymore. It's pretty rusted, and it's not really, basically just sit on it. So my family really enjoys this park. I'm not saying, I don't believe that it's unsafe technically, but I think it's just severely outdated and could use a little bit of a spruce up. My son, again, is 3.5, and I think he's going to be a little bit too old for this park in the coming years, and I think it would be great to have a second structure, especially for all the neighborhood kids. I know that there's kids, I see the kids, but no one really plays at this park, because it's basically just a toddler park with two slides. So as you can see by the pictures I've provided, this park has been neglected, outdated, and forgotten about for some time now. I understand that the neighborhood is older, but there are many young families like myself living in the neighborhood and would have much use for an updated park. I am happy that after contacting council in June, that the park received sand and a new bench. However, I believe that this is just a band-aid and not a long-term solution. Please reevaluate updating the Gatehouse Parkette. It is really such a beautiful spot. It's just like a grassy knoll in between three streets, and there are outside streets as well, and I really believe that it would be an update to the community and the neighborhood. Thank you for listening to me.
Thank you for joining us this morning. Members of committee, do we have any questions? Councillor Neal.
You got to look to your far left this morning. Through the chair, thanks for coming, Melissa. So would you agree with me that this park has a lot of potential?
I really do. I think it's in a fantastic spot. It's basically just a grassy knoll in the middle. It's almost, there's no streets that are even close, really. It's like, the streets are there, but your kids can play, and I think it's a really great spot. Unfortunately, the park is a bit of an eyesore. The park now.
Right. Now, and when I visited it in the summer, I think along with yourself, actually there was somebody else who called me before you, but there was some non-repair issues, right? About some fencing and stuff like that?
There is a fence that is falling down. I wasn't 100% sure if that's actually city, because it's a home that's there, so wasn't sure if it's the homeowner's responsibility to fix the fence or the town's, but there is a trench where there's a bridge. I'm not exactly sure what the trench is for, I guess just for water, but there's not very much water ever there, and there's a rickety old wooden bridge that is definitely would need repair.
And that's still there?
It's still there, yes. It's at the end of summer. I think it's Summer League Court, and then there's like a little rickety bridge at the end of it. I'm not exactly sure what it's for, to be honest with you, but it's there, and it's pretty rickety and old.
And through the chair, how old are you have?
I just have one son, and he's about three. He'll be 3 and a half, and it's literally our park in our neighborhood. It's probably on my street's just at the end of Summer League Court, and it would probably take us half a minute to a minute to walk to this park, and it's the park that we go to in the evenings, in the summer months, after dinner, on the weekends.
Okay, and through the chair, I would suggest that before you leave, make sure you find Mr. Horvath.
Okay.
And give him your phone number, and I'm sure he'll be happy to talk with you further, okay?
Okay, great.
Thanks for making the effort
to come
this morning.
Okay. Do we have any further questions, comments? Might be a long morning, guys. But please, I got Councillor Jones first, sir. And then Councillor Hoover.
I'll be quick. Thank you very much for coming again today. And have you spoken to some of the other neighbors around?
I have spoken. I haven't done my due diligence as Heather has, but I have spoken to a lot of the neighbors. And yeah, I mean, the kids that are there, there are kids that are older than my son, maybe 7, who are, again, like I've said, they're standing on the swings or they're sitting on top of the taller swing because there are no next step, or they're like the sand that Neil did provide was great because a lot of the kids did come out and they were able to play in the sand and bring their sand boxes or their sand toys, whereas before it was essentially just soil and it was muddy and pretty much just full of weeds. So it was great that the sand was provided, but like I said before, it levitated the park, whereas you couldn't really swing on the swings because your feet were hitting the ground. The swings needed to be raised up.
So although it needs a spruce up, there's still a lot of people that are using that park, and there's still a lot of people.
I do believe. Our school has 7 or 8 kindergarten classes. So I do. There are other parks, but I have to drive to one of the parks, and the other park is behind the other school that's in my neighborhood. But again, I have a park that's right there. Why do I need to walk or drive to a park that has swings or has an appropriate play structure for my son when I have a perfectly beautiful spot that could have a beautiful park?
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Great. Thank you. Councillor Hooper.
Yes, thank you, Ms. Burton, for coming this morning and giving us this information. Would you be willing, along with your neighbors, to sit down with our staff and just tell them what you kind of expect for your level?
I would love to, yeah.
Okay, and you realize that not only is your park, but the other delegate that came forward, they have an issue in regards to theirs, but there's others within the municipality, not just in Ward 1, that have issues too in regards to that. So we have to sort of figure out how we can juggle it to do the improvements that we need to do with all of them.
Okay.
Thank you.
Do we have anything further? Ms. Burton, I'm going to maybe direct this a little bit differently. There have been a couple of suggestions that individuals meet with staff. Would you agree that it might make more sense to get a group to look municipal-wide?
Pardon, can you repeat that?
Would you agree it might make more sense to get I'm going to call it a working group, for lack of a better word, to work municipally-wide on these parkettes?
Yeah, I do. I'm not saying that my park is more important than Heather's park or another park in the community. I'm just saying my community outside that I can see,
my
park is the worst park.
So because we have to ask questions, rather than dealing with perhaps 20 individual parkettes, it might make more sense if we brought a group of people together to work as a whole.
For sure, I agree.
Perfect, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here, and I hope that we get to work with both you and Ms. Emery on these and many, many other parks that this was a theme during the election.
I just think it's a free, if the mother's on mat leave, it's a free spot for someone to go, and if it's terrible, you don't want to go to that park.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, the next delegate is Oh, sorry, you're absolutely correct. Councilor Neal.
Motion to receive and refer to the budget, but I do want to speak on it.
All right. Seconded by Councilor Jones. Councilor Neal.
Well, you know, Mr. Chair, I do get the idea that there's other parks, but, you know, when I, to be honest with you, when I went there in the summer, and it started out with a discussion with another resident, I was embarrassed, okay, that this park is in this condition in Curtis, and you know what, you'd be hard-pressed to find another park that was in as bad a shape as this. And so, you know, we can talk about a municipal-wide issue, but I just want to put it on the table right now. There's community improvement funds that are earmarked for Curtis, and I'm going to be pushing hard that those community improvement funds go to fund, if necessary, the refurbishment of this park and the other one that Heather spoke about earlier. I just think these are they've been under-serviced, I don't know, under-maintained, whatever you want to call it, but if we turn this into a whole municipal-wide issue and leave this park undone, I just think it'll be not the right way to go. So, you know, these two individuals have come out and put the time into this, but I invite anybody to go and just take a look. You can't right now, but, you know, because it's covered with snow, but I can just say I did not feel very proud of what I saw back in the summer. And, you know, I think after the one trip when I had Mr. Horvath, I had a little game of basketball with somebody. I didn't play very well, but but anyway, you know, you have one basketball net with no netting or anything. And anyway, so that was my excuse why I couldn't put the ball in the hoop that day. But I'm just saying, I think we really need to not necessarily take our eye off this ball here. For this budget. Thank you.
Anything further on that? So, Councillor Hooper, I'm not going to make you talk, but I can tell you, Councillor Neal, that this is not limited to these parks, and my comments are absolutely not to move something forward as opposed to these. This is for any of the older neighborhoods, and Ms. Emery, I think, hit the nail on the heads where we had the demographic shift. We did not spend perhaps the time and money that we should have as the kids left. The kids are coming back. I can tell you that these are not the only two. My suggestion that we make this a little bit broader is to make sure that Mr. Horvath does not have a series of the same meetings, but we need to deal with it. There is a line in the budget. I don't know if that's enough money. So you and I are agreeing on the same outcome, but it is a broader issue than these two parks, and anyone you know, that lives in an area with kids. My kids had better service in the park around the corner from me than the kids that have moved into the area. Again, just because things have gotten old, the demographic shifted, and they're shifting again. But when I say it was a campaign issue, it was a campaign issue beyond here. And I'm absolutely not, for the delegates that came here, absolutely not diminishing the need for work on these two parks. So on the referral, I'll call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Thank you. So the next delegate, Ms. Kent. And you represent an integral part of the municipality. It might be called a library. Mr. Cook, and it was difficult for me not to say Councillor Cook. It is good to see you.
Good morning, Mayor Foster. Members of council, municipal staff, members of the public, as indicated, my name is Stephen Cook. I'm the board chair for the Clarington Public Library. I'm here today with library board members Judy Hagerman and library director Linda Kent. This morning, I will be providing you an overview of the library's budget request and will present the library's proposed concept for a redesigned Bowmanville branch. The library respectfully requests $3,146,248 from the municipality of Clarington. This is a 2.25% increase from last year and consistent with previous requests. When looking at neighboring and other comparable size libraries in the Greater Toronto Area, the median cost per capita is $47.35. Clarington's public library cost per capita was the lowest in 2017 at $36.20 per person. On average, the Clarington Public Library member saves nearly $500 a year by using library services. This amount can provide a week's worth of groceries, a month of transit, and 3 months of a fitness membership, for example. This year, the library requested a capital funding to renovate the 16-year-old Bowmanville branch. Originally constructed in 2003, the library no longer meets current accessibility standards. The primary motivation for this public project revolves around creating a barrier-free space and an inclusive community destination. The project has been costed at $2,050,000. The library respectfully requests access to the library's reserve fund of $1.3 million, which is being held by the municipality. The library has recently received $49,543 in grant funding for the installation of an accessible universal washroom. Considering the receipt of this grant, the library is requesting an additional $700,458. The following is a brief video that provides an overview of the Bowmanville branch redesign project. When the branch was originally built, it met the codes and standards of the day. Since then, libraries have evolved, becoming more focused on people spaces. Library staff have conducted public consultation throughout online surveys and design charrettes to engage the public, community stakeholders, board members, library staff, and the Municipality of Clarington's Accessibility Committee. The front entrance has been widened to remediate accessibility challenges when navigating through the vestibule. The new vestibule will also improve the library's street presence. Inside, the library's new tile flooring replaces the uneven slate floors. Just going to give a minute for it to catch up to me. The ground floor features two crucial elements, a universal washroom and accessibility points. The open concept entrance draws members into the branch, similar to the experience that it has at the Curtis branch. To the right of the service point is the maker space. It will consist of a digital creation tools like 3D printer and vinyl cutter. This is an enclosed room that is close proximity to the staff for assistance and supervision. Flexible shelving and furniture in the atrium area allow for opportunities to create and event space. Events might include educational presentations, visits from authors, or use for overflow during council meetings. The use of the circular shelving creates a distinct and inviting children's space. The architectural design invites discovery, exploration, and play, which is the way children learn best. Proceeding across the main floor, we are taken up the repositioned staircase to see the view from the mezzanine level. Repositioning the staircase creates usable space on the main floor and increases the presence of Dewey's Cafe, which will remain in its original space. Two crucial features of the second floor are the inclusion of accessible service points and the washroom. Like the Curtis Branch, the Great Room, the Community Room will act as a flexible space for library and partnership programs, meetings, and community bookings. In response to a number of complaints about noise levels and the lack of group spaces, we have created a variety of workspace options. Open collaborative booths will run along the atrium. Large study hall tables have been maintained. And finally, the design incorporates a number of quiet study rooms as seen along the Church Street window. Your Worship, thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today, and we would be happy to answer any questions.
Oh, thank you. Councillor Anderson.
Thank you, Stephen and Linda, for your delegation here today. I met with Linda yesterday. I'm a big fan of LIVE, a big supporter of anything that enhances education. So during our discussion, the Executive Director, Linda, mentioned that there's a new proposed complex in Bowmanville at Carrington Fields.
So we need a question, Councillor.
I am getting to the question. I'm just providing some context here. So she suggested the idea of having a library at that complex, similar to what we have in Curtis, which make perfect sense. So having said that, wouldn't it be more practical to hold off on this and see what develops there, and so we don't duplicate things, and it's one taxpayer's dollar, so, and it's easier to build than to refit and refurbish. And you could probably look at the accessibility aspect of this library in the interim. So that's what I am suggesting, or that's what I maybe suggest you should take a look at.
Okay, so I can kind of take a question out of that. Councillor Anderson, you're correct. You know, Ms. Kent and I have also spoken about that possibility. Bowmanville eventually will need a new branch just because of the size that Bowmanville continues to grow. I think that's an excellent opportunity to do something with a new build facility by the municipality like we have in the Curtis branch. You have to remember though that if it's a new build facility like that, those funds can come from development charges that we have in our reserves for new build. So this project here, depending on how much the municipality is willing to put over to us, our main things is the accessibility in the universal washroom, which we've got some grant funding for, and the entranceway. I mean, the entranceway for accessibility for those that need it, plus we have a lot of daycares that come in here with large strollers, and they find it, I've seen them many times coming in and out of here, having difficulties going through there. So to be more inclusive in service, I think is key. The children's area, I think is a very important redesign element to it. It's a bit of a unique design, but when you can build it with drywall and like we did in Newcastle, if you've ever been in the Newcastle Library, you can see the design of the castle that's in the back for the children's area. When we can build that instead of going out and purchasing child design equipment, Mr. Horvath will tell you that when you buy something that's child design like parquets, it becomes very, very expensive. So if we can do it in the construction instead of buying individual equipment, it saves. In the Newcastle Library, we saved tens of thousands by building it at the time instead of putting things up. So regardless, Bowmanville will eventually need two libraries in the near future.
Can I follow? Yeah, just to be clear, I suggest that the accessibility aspect of it, that's needed, that's done. But some of the other things, design that you want and include, things you wanted included I think it would be more prudent to wait to see what develops on the new facility, and some of that could be incorporated there, and it would be more cost effective anyhow. So that's where I'm coming from with that. Thank you.
Councillor Schwart.
Welcome, Mr. Cook. Have you costed out just the accessibility component of your redesign?
We have some of these numbers here. So for the redesign of the entrance is $104,400. Accessibility service points was $24,000. Some of the lighting that needs to be fixed was close to over $40,000. And then the universal bathroom was just under $50,000.
Do we have anything further? I wonder if you could scroll back to the slide showing the cost per capita.
Yes.
Unless you recall those numbers offhand.
The $47 on average, and then the $36 for the municipality of Clarington.
Right, and am I correct that has been consistent in terms of the library being probably the least expensive in Durham region?
In the GTA, yes.
Okay, so I think that's fine. I've just, so 36 versus the average of 44. And you have costed out, to follow through on Councillor Anderson's questions, you've costed out the accessibility and more important items. As opposed to, I guess it's what you need versus what you want.
Right.
Perfect. And you wouldn't disagree that maybe we look at, given that the dialogue around South Bowmanville, you're right, we will need it. It makes sense that maybe we look at a broader plan.
Absolutely.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you ever so much for joining us.
Thank you.
It's good to see you again, Mr. Cook.
Thank you.
All right, and now we have, to refer, so that's a simpler, sorry, to simply receive, because that's already being dealt with on the budget directly. Councillor Hooper, seconded by Councillor Anderson, all in support, opposed, that is carried. It could be by the end of this process, I will recall, to take that step. All right, and now the Visual Arts Centre. Dion, welcome. Marianne, welcome.
Good morning, Mayor Foster, members of council, municipal staff, and fellow presenters. My name is Dion Paulinzak, and I'm the Executive Director of the Visual Arts Centre of Clarington. And I am here today with our Board Chair, Marianne Slemon, and our Board Treasurer, John Clausen. This morning, I am pleased to provide for you an overview of the VAC's budget request and to highlight how the Visual Arts Centre of Clarington strengthens our community in so many ways. The VAC is respectfully requesting $215,065 from the Municipality of Clarington, and you'll note that this is an increase of 2% from last year's request and is consistent with previous year's asks. 2018 was a very exciting year for the VAC. Coming out of a restructuring phase, we assembled a new team who I am proud to say hit the ground running. As the new staff settled into their new roles, there was no disruption to service to our members, and having these new positions at the VAC offered exciting new perspectives on the programs and services we provide to the community. In 2018, our exhibition timetable had already been secured and confirmed by our past ED curator, James Campbell. Our current curator took this opportunity to look at how we present contemporary art to the community. Our focus over the year was to enhance the ways that residents in Clarington engage with the art in our spaces. Our focus for the 2018 year was to increase the level of programming around each exhibition. This provided exciting opportunities for artists showing their work and provided more time for the community to learn something new. In 2018, Fiona Krangle provided guided tours to high school and Girl Guide groups throughout her exhibition as a way of exploring her questions of what feminism is with youth. At the end of his exhibition, Gerald Banting took a group of gallery visitors down to the Bowmanville Valley Conservation Area to discuss his process of care and preservation of the creek as an extension of his artistic practice, giving us insight into his paintings and installation project. For 2019, we have changed the scheduling around each exhibition. By carving out more time for us to program around our shows, we will be providing a better experience for our visitors, our communities, and the artists who show in our spaces. 2019 marks the first year for our Loft Gallery Installation Commission. Our Loft Gallery space has been underutilized, but is a great draw to artists working in installation practice. This year, we have a one-year exhibition from artist Ron Benner titled Transmission Barley Corn Maze. This will be open to the public from January to November 2019, and to complement his exhibition, we will be hosting a corn roast with live music and performances later in the summer. Our first exhibition for 2019, In These Threads, shows paintings by local artist and educator Jane Eccles. Jane works fill both bank gallery spaces, and her show is aligning with International Women's Day. We have a joint program happening on March 9th with Jane performing at the VAC with a storytelling component to her exhibition, followed by a musical performance at the Sarah Jane Williams Center. Samir Farouk will be showing in the spring, and Samir has been working alongside the Clarington Museum and Archives throughout 2018 to build his exhibition from items that are being deaccessioned from the museum's collection. In an effort to be more inclusive, we have restructured our Art from the High School exhibition. We have designed an application where students can apply to be in the show themselves, as well as our traditional method of taking art from art selected by high school art teachers. This application will include an opportunity to be awarded one of our student bursaries. Our goal in opening up this application process is to provide a fair opportunity for students who may not be currently enrolled in an art program at the time of the exhibition. This will also provide an opportunity for students who may be in an alternative learning environment. The changes we have employed in 2018 have been recognized by the Ontario Arts Council. With our last application, the feedback from our peer review showed an increase from the OAC to elevate the VAC to a B-level gallery. This is a signifier that we are operating with best practices correlating with other public art institutions in Ontario, and that the programming we are providing to our community aligns with the larger ecology of contemporary art practice within Canada. Another area of focus has been on building synergy between our exhibition programs and our educational programming. We are building towards being a place where people can come, see new things, ask questions, and learn something new. We were fortunate to have received funding from Young Canada Works Building Careers and Heritage Grant. This allowed us to hire a recently graduate student to work for 6 months as a paid intern, and the VAC benefited significantly from this program. Working alongside our curator of exhibitions and education, Sam has learned about ceramics, studio maintenance, arts education, and program management. She has been conducting her own research about the VAC and the history of Bowmanville to develop educational programs for local school groups with specific projects that will inspire young minds. These programs will be available to schools for both on-site visits at the VAC or artists in the classroom programming. In 2018, we increased the support of our summer programs by securing a full-time camp director through Young Canada Works Summer Student Program and 4 camp counselor positions through Canada Summer Jobs Program, and we are expecting to receive the same level of funding for 2019. With this added support, we were able to create high school co-op positions, which offer great benefit to the VAC and the students who gain valuable experience through designing programming, working with professional artists on installations, and learning the day-to-day operations of a public institution. We are continuing to reinforce our connections to our immediate community by providing opportunities and support for artists in our area and increasing the occasions to show and participate in art. Our annual Kids Art Festival, known as Picasso's Picnic, has consistently grown in numbers. This year, we are offering new engaging programming for our visitors with age-specific activities, more artist-run activity booths, and opening our studio spaces to offer new things to see and learn. The Clarington Outdoor Art Festival was a new initiative for the VAC in 2018, and it was very well received by both the artists who participated and the visitors who came out to enjoy the day and support the artists. We were able to showcase local artists and musicians over 2 days, including musicians who teach at Hands-On Music in Bowmanville and the Circle of Sixth, a youth jazz band who blew the audience away. This resulted in the band securing paid commitments in some of the local businesses throughout Clarington during the Christmas season. We continue to strengthen our relationships and ally with other community organizations. We have worked with the Bowmanville Older Adults Association on their photography project, which is currently on display in the Municipal Administrative Center, hallway and foyer, We are collaborating with the museum on joint programming to complement both organizations' programming initiatives and working with the planning department for a public art initiative in the downtown cores of Newcastle, Orno, Bowmanville, and Curtis, as well as supporting the downtown initiatives such as Maple Fest, Apple Fest, Bluesberry Fest, the Clarington Public Library's annual Winter Wonder Learn, and most recently with the Clarington Board of Trade and Economic Development for a project with a marketing class at Bowmanville High School. This year we have been focused on improving our volunteer management by creating specific roles and job descriptions outlining our needs, as well as providing better value for our volunteers giving their time to our organization. Again, to be more inclusive, we have taken advantage of the Clarington Volunteers Portal to reach a wider audience and engage new people in our space. 2019 marks a new chapter for the VEC. In conjunction with the opening of our 2019 programs, we have made our first land acknowledgement. In order to do this, we reached out to the Mississaugas of the Scugog Island First Nation, where we met with Council Member Jamie Coons to seek guidance on writing a statement. Once it was approved, Councillor Jamie Coons presented our first land acknowledgement at the VEC as a signal to our new and ongoing relationship. It is important to us that we may remain an inclusive space for diverse voices and stories, where members of, from within and outside of our community can ask questions, learn new things, and make connections. We understand that the land acknowledgement is a small step in this process, but the path forward is respecting the past, learning from each other in the present to build a better and diverse and inclusive community. As the community of Clarington grows, our organization continues to benefit from this growth. We are seeking an increase in membership. We are seeing an increase in membership and enrollment, more requests for programs, workshops, and events. We are dedicated to providing high-quality programs and opportunities for our membership and to our community. We are respectfully requesting an increase in our support from the municipality of Clarington, which aligns with the cost of living allowance and will directly impact the quality and consistency in the service we provide to our community. I want to thank you for your time today, and I look forward to seeing you all next Saturday at the Mayor's Gala for the Love of Art.
I'm sorry, there's a gala next Saturday? Would that be at the library on Saturday?
That's next Saturday, at the library, right here, downstairs.
Gala,
right. Mystery boxes are being wrapped.
Thank you for the shameless plug. Members of committee, do we have any questions? I see no questions, and I thank you. You very clearly went through that several times to keep it under the 10 minutes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, and the next, we need a motion to, yes, thank you, thank you. I was actually going there without... Councillor Anderson, seconded by Councillor Jones, to receive with thanks. Questions, comments? All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Thank you. The next is the Bowmanville Older Adult Association. We've got Angie. And Angie, I believe you've got Mr. Penny David with you. Welcome. Good to see you again.
Good morning, Mayor Foster, councillors, municipal staff, community partners, and guests that have joined us today. Thank you for the opportunity to update you on our organization, the Bowmanville Older Adults Association. 2018 was our organization's third year operating as an independent registered charity within the municipality of Clarington. For the sake of time, our organization's annual report has been provided to all members of council prior to today's meeting. Copies are also available on our association's website, and anyone in the gallery, if you're interested, I can get them to you. The mission of the Bowmanville Older Adults is to promote the health and happiness of older adults by providing opportunities to enhance their quality of life, being accessible, caring, community-focused, financially responsible, member-focused, and offering quality programs. Our facility is open 7 days a week, offering both registered and drop-in programs, activities, events, and workshops. Our facility is known by many as a home away from home. We are the sole tenants of 26 Beach Avenue and look after all of the day-to-day facility maintenance, general upkeep, and are happy to work closely with the municipality's operation department on large, more facility plant type things like HVAC and roofing. Our organization continues to operate as a membership-based association. Membership does have its privileges. as you will receive discounted program and event registration fees, advanced registration, and lower room rentals for the low cost of $30 for a 12-month period. Non-members and guests are, of course, always welcome. However, they do pay an additional charge. As of December 31st, 2018, we had 1,615 registered members and 711 non-member participants. In 2018, we welcomed 389 brand new faces to the BOAA. Of the 1,615 members, our largest population base is drawn from Bowmanville, with Curtis, Newcastle, and Orno coming in close behind. As you can see here, the average of our membership is aging, with the largest group covering 65 to 79 years of age. As with many organizations of this nature, our membership breakdown is still largely made up of females, although we continue to see an increase in gentlemen in and around the center on a daily basis, participating in a cross-section of both new and exciting programs. As I mentioned earlier, our facility operates 7 days per week. Most days you'll find our doors open by 8 and programs, events, and fundraising taking us well into the evening hours. This graph gives you a nice overview of our daily averages. Yes, Tuesday lunch continues to be our busy day, but as you can see, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday are also looking not too bad, and Mondays are a perfect way to start off your week. Our volunteers continue to be our most valuable resource, covering a cross-section of different roles and responsibilities. In the last 12 months, we have utilized the services of 332 registered volunteers, and they logged 22,000 hours of service. This is amazing. If we were to cover the wages of these volunteers, paying the basic minimum wage of $14 an hour, that's $308,000 I'd also need to be finding in this budget today. These volunteers are our lifeblood, and we cannot thank them enough or be more proud of them. As you are all aware, Clarington is huge. The BOA's Wheels in Action program covers a lot of ground each year. At this time, we are regularly providing transportation to and from the BOA to 119 different members. In 2018, we drove over 8,000 trips in and around our municipality, providing these with only 28 volunteer van drivers. In 2018, we offered 401 different registered programs, successfully on a cost recovery basis. 17 new programs were implemented while we continued to host 149 different drop-ins and 75 workshops. For this to happen, we employed 141 different instructors by either employees, contractors, volunteers, or community partners. Over the course of the year, the BOA has also ventured out of the community thanks to the support of our local travel agents, with many successful day trips, a bus tour to Upper Canada, and of course, our once-a-year destination trip with Kemp Travel. Just last night, our group returned safely from the beaches of Mexico. As many of you are aware, the Beach Center fundraising is highly reliant on our organization's ability to host many successful events, thanks to the members of council who support us in purchasing tickets and attending. I assure you, your support has not gone unnoticed. At a quick glance, you will see the events hosted as well as into the triple digits. And all of these happened in a 52-week period in conjunction with all those other programs, events, and drop-ins that I spoke about earlier. A large part of our commitment to past councils has been that we would increase our participation in the community. And we have done just that. 35 times we popped up our shop last year, and we cannot thank everyone enough for stopping by, purchasing a ticket, buying our baked goods, and chatting to our staff and volunteers. We appreciated your support, even on the rainiest of days. Testimonials are the words that speak volumes in our daily operation. Included in our annual report, you will find many. But for the purpose of today and the timing, I will simply say, please, if you want to know what the BOA is, take time, go to 26 Beach Avenue, have a coffee, and learn from the members themselves, as they truly are the glue that is holding us all together. As promised last year, the BOAA would continue to look for outside funding. We're happy to report that our efforts in grant writing have paid off with support being received from all levels of government, community funding sources, and we've received even a few euros for a foundation in Glasgow,